It's just the normal noises in here.
This is Polyphonic Press, the podcast where two music fans pick a classic album completely at random. Using the patented random album generator, they are given an album to review from a curated list of over 1,000 classic releases, spanning multiple genres. And now onto the show. Here are your hosts, Jeremy Boyd and John Van Dyke.
All right, hey, welcome to Polyphonic Press. I'm Jeremy Boyd.
And I'm John Van Dyke.
And let's not waste any time. We've got the patented random album generator right in front of us here. So let's hit the button and see what album we're going to be listening to this week. And the album we're going to be listening to is The Weaker Than's Left and Leaving.
I think I've heard of it, but I don't know anything about it.
I think this is from the Canadian list.
Yeah, it could be.
So here's a description of the album. It says, Left and Leaving is the second album by Canadian indie rock band The Weaker Than's, and is often regarded as their defining statement. Released in 2000, the record blends literate, introspective lyrics with punk roots and folk-tinged melodies. Frontman John K. Samson, formerly of Propagandhi, brings a poet's eye for detail and a novelist's sense of character, crafting songs about lost love, aging ideals, hometown melancholy, and quiet resilience. Set against the backdrop of Winnipeg, a recurring character in their work, the album captures emotional nuance with rare honesty. Tracks like Aside, Watermark, and the heartbreaking title track Left and Leaving feel both deeply and personal and universally relatable. The band's sound is understated but rich, weaving melodic guitar lines with steady, unflashy rhythms that give the lyrics room to breathe. More than just an indie rock album, Left and Leaving is a gentle, profound meditation on the spaces we inhabit, the people we miss, and the versions of ourselves we try to hold on to or let go of. Okay, so this album was released on July 25th, 2000. The genre is indie rock, and the label is G7 Welcoming Committee, and produced by Ian Blurton. And this was right in the CD era, so there really doesn't give a side one and side two. But there are 12 songs on the album. So what we'll do is we'll listen into the first six and then take a break and listen half or and discuss halfway through. And if you are listening along, which we do encourage you to do, we've linked the album to both Spotify and Apple Music in the description, so you can listen to this album on your preferred streaming service. So the album begins with Everything Must Go, and the first half ends with Without Mythologies. Just want to remind you to check out our Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/polyphonicpress and you can get lots of cool stuff there. You can get these episodes the day before they go live, and you can pick an album for a reserve view, and you can get a shout out during these episodes. So lots of cool stuff over there. So definitely check that out if you're interested. But without further ado, here is the first song on the album, Everything Must Go. All right, and ending the first half of the album with Without Mythologies. I really like this so far. It's different. It's very eclectic in terms of its style. But I kind of like that it's got sort of a rootsy feel, but also some of the songs have like really loud guitars. It's a pretty big contrast, but it's done really well, I think.
Yeah, I think I'm enjoying it too. I don't know if it's going to be necessarily one of my favorite albums, but I think it's... I appreciate what's going on into it, for sure. I think... I like his lyrics. His lyrics have got a lot of thought into them. They're not, you know, your standard, you know, rock and roll fare, really. They're very introspective. They're poetic.
Yeah, it's kind of reminding me of like Wilco, or that sort of like the music and the lyrics as well. Yeah, the lyrics are very very interesting, and yeah, they're unusual, and his phrasing is very unusual. I remember hearing this. I don't remember this album specifically, or to be honest, any song, but I remember hearing this band, and his voice is very familiar. In maybe about around 2008, 2009, around there, maybe. Yeah, I just remember hearing this somewhere. I don't know where I heard it, but and I remember thinking then that, you know, the lyrics and his melodies and his voice were very, very different than anything I'd ever heard. I like that the music as well is very interesting. And because the lyrics are, the song Aside is a very sort of standard rock song musically.
Right.
But then, you know, it's sort of taken in a totally different direction. I wasn't, from the first song, I wasn't expecting to hear big guitars. I was sort of thinking, okay, this is cool, this is going to be like a mellow sort of album. And then the second song, it's like, okay, this is interesting. It's kind of reminding me of I said Wilco, but also The Replacements.
Okay.
And yeah, it's really fascinating. There isn't really anything quite like it. It's hard to compare because there isn't really anything else quite like it or quite to compare it to.
Yeah, but I think your comparison to Wilco is pretty apt, actually. So, I guess Wilco started up in the 90s, didn't they?
Yeah, and these guys did too. They were sort of around the same time, like 96, 97, around there.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, I've always appreciated, you know, artists that can, you know, can convey lyrics like that.
It's a rare talent. I mean, writing poetry is one thing, and then writing lyrics is something totally different. People think it's the same thing, but it's really not. And to be able to write poetry to music is, like, I can think of maybe a handful of people who can do it well. Maybe Nick Cave, Gord Downie.
Well, I think of people like Neil Young.
Neil Young, for sure, yeah.
But Neil Young's lyrics are, they can be poetic, but they're a little more straightforward usually.
Yeah, that's why I didn't think of him, because it's more his, I love his lyrics, but they are deliberately song lyrics. They're a different, totally different beast than poetry.
But even Tom Petty at times could be quite poetic. He didn't do it all the time, but sometimes he would, his lyrics were a little more interpretive.
That is true. Yeah. And it's not you know, it's not like, you know, we're going to go out and get drunk and, you know, meet some girls, and that is fun. I'm not putting that down, but that's, you know, it's totally a different thing.
Yeah.
the sequencing of the album is odd, because you don't, like, knowing what the other songs on the album are, you generally don't lead with a song that doesn't represent the rest of the album. I'm not saying it's bad, but it's just an unusual choice to start the album off with a song that, and I like that I was surprised by it. It's like, because I was, it sort of subverted my expectations, and it kept me interested, and I didn't know where the album was gonna go. You know, I like that they didn't go with the safe choice, and I like that they took a chance. You know.
Yeah, this is I would consider this almost art rock in some ways. Almost.
Yeah, to be honest, I mean, yeah, I really would as well. I mean, it's
musically, it's a little more conventional than art rock, but lyrically, it's up there.
Yeah, you're right. It is, and yeah, I really don't know what to say about it, because it's hard to sort of come up with something to talk about on the first listen, because it is so different. It's funny that it was put on one of the greatest albums of all time, greatest Canadian albums of all time, because it got mixed reviews when it came out. Some people like praised the album, and like Pitchfork gave it a 6.1 out of 10.
It's okay.
That's okay, but it's sort of like an average score. It's not terrible, but it's not like, so I think it's one of those things that has grown on people. And I think it's one of those things that has sort of become maybe not a favorable or maybe an overlooked album from its time, but it's sort of become, in retrospect, an album that sort of people have gone back and thought, okay, yeah, looking back, this is a worthy album to listen to. And that seems to happen quite a bit.
It could be, but I think even off the bat, some people just got it, and other people, again, and I think it's the lyrics. Because they're not so straightforward, a lot of people don't get them.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. And that can put a lot of people off, I think.
It can. I don't know why entirely. I mean, I guess I kind of know why. I don't know. I don't like to speculate, but some people just, they just don't get it, but that's fine.
Yeah.
Maybe they will after a few listens, some of them won't, but it's probably part of it. I think if you put out an album that's like, you know, introspective and, you know, a little more, it's not necessarily, you know, your meat and potatoes rock and roll. It's your, I don't know how to say it best. Things that come off a little bit more artistic sometimes are, you know, some people don't know what to make of it.
I think a lot of it too. Well, I don't.
Yeah, I'm struggling too.
Yeah, I wonder sometimes when an artist puts out something this introspective.
Yeah.
It's a lot of the time is a little later in their career, and maybe people just weren't expecting it from a young band.
Yeah, some people are just and I mean artists. Some artists are just, you know, old souls, and these words just kind of pour out of them. And other ones really have to work on it over a career to get to that point.
And some people are just sort of kind of cringe at the term, but wise beyond their years, and they maybe people aren't really expecting that from a younger person, younger artist, and they sort of scoff at it. It's like, what do you know, kid? You know, kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And I find these people generally, they become that way because they're misunderstood in their youth anyway, even from among their peers. I mean, I can't speak on behalf of, the lyricists of this particular album, but in a general sense, that seems to be the case.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it comes from, like, yes, people from their peers, but also older people thinking, well, you don't have the life experience to be talking about the things you're talking about, you know?
Yeah.
But some people just know.
Yeah, it's true. Some people just kind of have this innate response to things. You know, it's just a fact of life. I mean, yeah, generally most people, they learn throughout their life, but some people just, you know, I can't explain why, but some people just do know things.
But I did manage to find a few pretty interesting facts about the album, and some of it gives a little bit of insight to his lyrics, but the first one is, it's one of the most beloved Canadian albums of all time. Left and Leaving consistently appears on Best of Canadian Music Lists. In 2007, CBC Radio 3 listeners voted it the number one Canadian album of all time, ahead of artists like Neil Young and Leonard Cohen. It's considered a cult classic for fans of thoughtful indie rock.
There's an introspective writer, Leonard Cohen.
Yeah. Yeah, really.
Yeah. But no, that's interesting.
John K. Sampson, he's the lyricist and the lead singer. His lyrics are deeply literary, and he's actually a published poet. Before and after his time in the Weirder Thans, Sampson published poetry and essays. His writing style blends storytelling and social observation, and some lyrics, like those in "This is a door never to," "This is a fire door never leave open," even read like prose poems. His literary background helps explain the album's emotional depth and vivid imagery.
Yeah, I like that song too.
Yeah. Winnipeg is practically a character in the album. The city of Winnipeg, cold, isolated, and full of quiet dignity, is a recurring theme in the band's work. The title track, Left and Leaving, paints a portrait of urban loneliness and seasonal depression that's specific to Winnipeg but resonates far beyond it. And the next fact is also tied to the album. It was recorded at Private Ear Studios in Winnipeg. The album was recorded in their hometown, which adds to its grounded, intimate feel. There's a sense that the band didn't just write about the city, they made the album in it, surrounded by the very streets and stories that inspired the songs. Yeah, I mean, that is a good point, and it kind of gives the album a little more context. And if you know, I've never been to Winnipeg, but I have definitely experienced the seasonal depression, and knowing that, like, that absolutely makes sense.
Yeah.
With this album. Yeah. If you are Canadian or even live north of, the middle of the United States, you know about what that feels like. And Winnipeg is...
If you live in Siberia, I'm sure you get it.
Yeah, exactly, right. So yeah, I can definitely hear that on the album. That sort of... That introspective time of winter. And the album blends punk ethics with indie folk sensibilities. Though Left and Leaving sounds mellow and melodic, its roots are in punk. John K. Sampson left the political punk band Propagandhi to form the Weaker Thans, hoping to explore more personal and nuanced themes. The result is music that keeps a punk ethos, a DIY honesty and skepticism, but trades distortion for acoustic guitars and poetry.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. There are some loud guitars on here.
Yeah.
So those are some interesting facts about the album. But I guess we will get back into the second half. But before we do that, let's hear from our friends over at the Astroverts podcast. So check that out.
What's up, folks? It's Jake here from the Astrovert podcast. Come join us as we play underplayed and undershared bands from across the United States and the world. We found local bands from the Midwest, Florida, the UK, New Zealand, and far, far beyond. Some of our recent favorite discoveries include Sprawl, Glitch Kingdom, City of Auburn, Flake, Michigan, and so many more. We feature rock news.
Rock news! Whoa!
News about rock, rocks are getting rocked.
As well as discuss our band's journey toward finishing our forthcoming EP. Our first two singles, Last Call and Tides of Elephants, both out now. You can find the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll now take a few seconds before we begin side two. Thank you. Here's side two.
All right, and ending the album with Slips and Tangles. I'm really liking this. One of the things I noticed it most on that last song is the way it's recorded. You can hear the room.
Yeah.
I really like that. It feels like you're in it. Like you're watching them, or it's an immersive experience. I think in a lot of music, they try to mix it in a way it doesn't sound like the room that it's in, but I like that you can feel the space that they're recording it in. And I noticed it that on other tracks, but it was most prominent on that last one. I think overall I'm really liking this album.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it too. It's like I said, I don't know if it's going to be one of my favorite albums that we've covered on here, but it's nice to sort of change the pace and get something that's travels at sort of a different pace. It's a pretty good one.
Yeah. I don't really have much else to say about it. I think it's one of those things that it's, like I said, it's kind of hard to grasp everything on a first listen. Mm. And I think it's one of those things that you sort of have to maybe listen to a few times to sort of appreciate it. I think maybe that's just because I didn't know what I was expecting, and maybe I just sort of, I think maybe I just want to hear it again, to be honest. I did enjoy it. Like his lyrics are really good, and unique, and, the musicianship is really good. I mean, they're a really good band playing together. I really enjoyed it. So that being said, what would be your three highlights on the album?
Yeah, I was sort of picking them as we were listening, and I think I'm going to go for This Is a Fire Door, Never Leave Open. Left and Leaving, that was a real highlight for me, and I think I liked History to the Defeated.
Yeah, those... I think those are the two of those are my my highlights. The This Is a Fire Door, Never Leave Open, and Left and Leaving, and the last song, Slips and Tangles. I really like that one. Those would be my highlights. So I guess that brings us to the question: is would you listen to this album again?
Yeah, I'd probably listen to this again.
Yeah, I would too. Oh, I think it's pretty obvious. I think I'm going to. I think I need to. I need to hear it again to sort of really fully appreciate it.
Mm.
But upon the first listening, I really did enjoy it. So I guess we'll end the episode there. Thank you so much for listening if you made it this far. We'd love to hear from you. You can go to our the website, polyphonicpress.com, and you can get all the past episodes that we've done so far, as well as go to the contact page, and we'd love to hear from you and maybe read your message on air. That would be pretty cool. And you can... check out the Patreon. Go to patreon.com/polyphonicpress. And if this is your first time listening, be sure to give us a follow and give us a rating and review, because it helps new listeners find us. And I think that just about does it. I'm Jeremy Boyd.
And I'm John Van Dyke.
Take it easy.